praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
We certainly like to welcome all of our visitors that are here. It's certainly good to see Barbara Williams back after having her surgery. We have been praying for you to have a swift recovery, and it looks like our prayers were answered. And we're certainly glad to have you back. Before we go, Sister Fluker's sister has passed. I just notified that she had passed away. And Sister Fluker is asking for prayers that she might have a safe travel to that particular destination. And if you bow your heads for just a moment, we'd like to do that, Sister Fluker. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, dear Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Dear Lord, we ask you to put your arms around Sister Fluker and the loss of her sister. And dear Heavenly Father, that she might have a safe journey to and fro to that destination so that she might finish those arrangements for her sister. Dear Heavenly Father, we also ask you to thank you for Sister Williams, who has come back into our midst. We certainly, our prayers have been answered in that particular regard, and we hope that she will continue to flourish in the days to come. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our lesson this morning is going to be talking about faith under fire. Faith under fire. Turn your Bibles over to Romans, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to try to talk to us about how we get faith in the first place. But, you know, has your faith ever been tested? I know my faith has been tested. Have you been in situations where you've known of people, you see all kinds of things going on around you, and you say, I need to just give this up. God has turned his back on me. And your faith has been tested. We're going to talk about a couple of instances this morning where individuals in the Bible have been tested. So if you want to start searching for Daniel, that's where we're going to be going. We're going to be going to the first, second, and the sixth chapter of Daniel. And we're going to be talking about some individuals that had their faith tested. But for a moment, I want you to think about, has your faith been tested? You know, oftentimes it's easy for us to have faith in God when everything is going along nice and easy. Everything is going your way. You got enough money in the bank. Your house note is being paid on time. You got enough food in the refrigerator. It's easy for your faith to be what? It's easy to be faithful, isn't it? But the time when our faith is tested, when we don't have enough food in the refrigerator, we don't have enough money in the bank, we don't have our mortgage paid, this is sometimes when our faith can be tested. Our faith can be tested by death or sickness in our lives. And, of course, I failed in my prayer to mention Brother McReynolds, who is back. And he's just had a long journey in coming back. We're so glad to see Brother Reynolds back as well. McReynolds back. I forgot that in my prayer. But our faith can be tested when we're sick and we're ill. We can give up on God. And we want to look at some examples of some individuals who had their faith tested. I wanted to pick Job, but everybody's heard the story of Job. But I wanted to go by and talk about some different kinds of stories. But first of all, how do you get faith? Turn over to Romans, if you will. And this passage we've been accustomed to hearing preachers talk at the conclusions of lessons. But I want us to take a look at it first. And we're going to start at the 16th verse. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 16th verse. And it says, however, they did not heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, what I'm going to extrapolate from this passage of Scripture is if my faith is weak, then what do I need to do? I need to read the word of God, shouldn't I? Let's go back and see if I've eisegeted it. It says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, if we want to strengthen our faith, we need to study our Bibles and get stronger in the word. The stronger we become in the Word, the stronger our faith can become, especially when we get ready to go through those trials and tribulations that we all know we're going to be faced with one day. It's not a matter of if we're going to have trials and tribulations. It's a matter of when they're going to occur. So we have to be strong enough to endure those things, especially when there are physical ailments that come our way. Faith is easy when we have no opposition. Jude talks about, over in his book, that we are to contend earnestly for the faith. And so if we're contending earnestly for the faith, that means we're getting stronger and stronger in the Word. And as a result of that, our faith is going to get stronger. We must get ourselves involved. Have you ever took a stand for what is right? You know, sometimes when we take a stand for something that's right, our faith can be tested. I don't know if you've ever been into a biblical discussion and walked away and wanted to throw the towel in. But our faith is going to be tested, and we need to be strong enough to endure that. Have you ever had some cost as a result of standing for truth and missed the popular opinion? And what I'm trying to say there is sometimes if you stood for the truth and you're in the minority, you can go away and your faith can be tested. Have you ever been willing to stand up for what you believe in spite of the consequences? You know, oftentimes we have a subject in our society which they call situation ethics. In other words, if the prevailing wind says I ought to believe this, Brother Lee, I will believe this because if I don't believe it, there are too many people that are going to be against me and talk about me when I do it. That's what I'm talking about. Are you able to stand in the midst? And at the closing of our lesson this morning, we're going to talk about Peter. You remember when Peter walked on the water? As long as he had his eyes on the Lord, he was able to walk. As soon as he took his eyes off, he did what? And we're going to talk about that at the end of our lesson this morning, about keeping our eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, making our faith strong. Turn, if you will, over to Daniel, the first chapter, and we want to look at this situation. I want to give you a little history on this. One of the interesting things that the Babylonians did when they took people into captivity is that they would change their names. And one of the things, if you'll see there in the 8th and 7th verse, it says, now, Mishael, the commander of the officials, assigned new names to them. And Daniel, he assigned the name Belshazzar, and Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. The first thing that they did is change their names. Can you imagine if somebody came in and told you, Brother Paul, your name is no longer Paul, but it's Shadrach? That's a humiliating thing to change somebody's name and make you answer to something else. And this was the first trial or tribulation that these young boys had. Now, the scriptures, the commentaries tell us that these young men we're going to talk about were 15 and 16 years old. Can you imagine 15 and 16-year-old boys having the kind of faith we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes? You know, it's difficult to get 15 and 16 years old to worship. More or less standing up for what they believe in. But we're going to see that these young boys are going to stand up. Their first test is going to come as you continue to go down there in the 8th verse, is that they wanted them to eat the finest food of the kings. The kings wanted to fatten them up and make them showpieces in his kingdom. And so Daniel went to him and negotiated a deal with the commander, as you continue to read there. And he says, look, we're going to eat vegetables and other things, but we're not going to eat this food that has been sacrificed to idols. Our religion won't allow us to do that, is to eat animals that have been sacrificed to these gods. So what they did, as you look there, and he said, let us do it for 10 days and let's compare. And as you continue to read there, you'll see that after they came back in 10 days, they were healthier and fatter. And they were even more. So they set them up in the kingdom with certain positions. As you go into the second chapter, they begin to have another test after they've passed this particular test. And I want you to jump over, if you will. Let's go over to... Okay. We want to go over to the fiery furnace, if you will. And that, I believe that's in chapter 3. And if you begin there to get into chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had erected this large idol. And he says that anybody that came in contact with this idol was supposed to bow down. Well, these boys decided that they weren't going to bow down. They decided that they were going to ignore those rules. And the king says that anybody that didn't do it, that they were going to be put in a fiery furnace. Now, as fate would have it, somebody went and told the king that they didn't bow down, and they arrested him and got ready to put him in the fiery furnace. And one of the interesting things that they say there that was very interesting to me is the fact is these boys said that whether or not God would rescue them from the fire, they would still serve him. Can you imagine that? Even if God didn't rescue them, they were still willing to serve him and not willing to bow down before that. You know, it would have been easy for them to bow down and get through the day, but they refused to do that. And as you continue to read there, you'll see where they went into this furnace. And as you read there in the chapter, you'll see when they went in that the men who bought them up to put them in the furnace got burned up. But they didn't get burned at all. And of course, they brought them into the fiery furnace. And of course, they didn't even have the smell of smoke when they came out. And the scriptures go on to talk about that there was a fourth person in there with them that appeared as the Son of God. And of course, there's a lot of speculation on who that fourth person is. I won't speculate. But God, whoever it was protecting these young boys. And they bought them out because they had faith under fire. Real difficult situation because they wouldn't do what the king. Now, if you continue on, you'll see how Nebuchadnezzar has this on the Damascus Road experience. He believes that their God is the number one God now, and he puts them in charge of other things. But if you go over the sixth chapter, we see somebody with another situation, which is Daniel. And you know, people are going to, if you look at all of these stories, you're going to always see somebody trying to get somebody in trouble, you might notice. They knew that these individuals were praying, that Daniel was praying. So they passed a law that you couldn't pray to anybody but what? Their God. And here we have somebody else went and reported they were praying to another God. And the king liked Daniel. If you read that story there, he didn't even want to put Daniel to death. In fact, he couldn't even sleep that night after they had put him into the lion's den. And he got up that next morning. And you'll see that Daniel talks about God had put a rock in the lion's mouth so that he wouldn't devour him. Here are individuals, okay, that their faith was under fire. They had an opportunity to back away from the Lord, and they chose to continue on. And in these instances, God protected them. And if you go home this evening and you take a look and read a little bit depth, you'll see how their faith was developed here. These individuals were faithful individuals, and they trusted in God. And my point that I'm trying to bring out this morning, how well is our faith under fire? Do we just have Sunday morning faith and Wednesday if you attend faith? How strong is our faith? Are we faithful when we get in our cars and go home? Do we read and study our Bibles? Do we have faith like one of the illustrations I have here is faith that they have in the back seat of the car and you pull it out when you need it? Or do we have an enduring faith like these boys, young boys had, and along with Daniel? If we don't, we need to develop our faith. Our lesson this morning is dealing with those kind of men who had that kind of faith. Those who will do what is right in the spite of opposition. You know, they did what was right because it was right. You know, oftentimes we want to line up on this side of an issue or that side of an issue. And my issue is we need to line up on what the God has to say about things. You mean, I like Brother Lee, but if he's wrong, I can't line up with him. And it's very difficult to line up with opposition in your face. But we as Christians have to stand up for what we believe is right, regardless of the consequences. Job did what was right regardless of what his wife and his friends said about it. If you read the book of Job, it's a long one, but you'll see that his friends and everybody turned against him. His wife wanted him to curse God and die, but he refused to do that. His faith stood tall in the sight of opposition. God blesses those who are righteous. God is in control of his kingdom. When a person trusts in Christ, in his faith, whether they realize it or not, they have been enrolled in what I want to call the school of faith. Consequently, as Christians, we never know what may happen next because God, who works all things for the good, uses our trials as tools to promote our spiritual growth and maturity. We might take Abraham as an illustration, and there are numerous illustrations, but building up our faith has to do with building up our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you can't build it up at home. You got to come out and get involved in studies and study God's Word. Improve upon it. And strengthen yourself. So when those trials and tribulations come about, I know people, they have deaths in their family and they don't go to worship anymore because of it. They believe God has turned his back on them.
No, God sends trials and tribulations our way in order to strengthen us.
What did these little boys do to deserve to be jumped into a fire? Their faith was being tested. What did Daniel do to be thrown into a lion's den? His faith was tested. Why was Job, God allowed the devil to use Job so his faith could be tested?
And if you look there in the first part of the book of Job, you'll see God was kind of bragging about Job.
If you look over there, he was kind of bragging. And he asked the devil, he says, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm looking around to see who I can devour. He says, well, have you tried my servant Job? God was kind of bragging about Job, wasn't he? He said, go over there and listen. Just don't touch him, but go over there. God was confident that Job would endure. Does God have that kind of confidence about us? If we're put in that situation where our faith is under fire. Or will we run away, stop worshiping, and doing other things on Sunday morning other than being here? Or having other things. I've heard all kinds of reasons. And the last thing I heard is somebody doesn't come to worship is because they had a basketball game. Can you imagine that? What kind of faith does that individual have that would not come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because they had a basketball game? What kind of person is that? What kind of faith do they have? Is that the kind of person you want to model? I had and this may come as a surprise to many of you, I had a disagreement with some ministers down in St. Louis. They got together for a golf outing. And did you know they canceled evening worship so they could all go to a golf outing? Of course, I was labeled as a troublemaker. I wanted to cancel their golf match, okay? But can you imagine that? And I'm not making this up. Paul, they canceled services so they could get on their little shorts, in a little hat, okay, and go play golf. Can you imagine that? What kind of example was that for, I don't want to use the word parishioners, but what kind of example were they setting for other people? What kind of example is that? We have to think about our faith and strengthen our faith. These Hebrew boys in Daniel shows us how one's faith can be under fire and still be able to endure. It teaches us how faith handles the problems of life, such as conflicts with our beliefs in God. The Christian life is a life of faith. Christians are called to live by faith from the beginning to the end. From the initial faith in Christ that promises salvation as a gift to God, a moment-to-moment life of faith that encompasses all the circumstances in life that we run into. We need to strengthen our faith and put our trust. You know, sometimes we come involved in situations that only God can get us out of sometimes. You know, sometimes we're funny time Christians. You know, we'll get on our knees and ask God for it not to rain, and the first thing we'll do is grab an umbrella. You know, sometimes our faith is that way. Leaving that umbrella is showing that we have what? Trust in God. And whether it rains or not, we can't hold that accountable to Him. Brothers and sisters, I'm bringing this up because a lot of problems that we as children of God have in this world is because we have a lack of faith. We will not trust in the Lord. We want to trust in ourselves. We want to trust in our degrees. We want to trust in our intellects. We want to trust in... We need to have the relationship with God where we trust in Him. And it's kind of difficult at times. You know, because God, sometimes He'll answer our prayer. Sometimes the answer will be no answer. And we have to recognize that. But our faith needs to be strong as these individuals that we've talked about. In Romans 1:16-17, we've talked about, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. What the writer is saying here is we have to live by faith on a day-to-day basis. We have to live by that element in our lives of trusting in the Lord. You know, oftentimes we go through the day and the week trusting in ourselves. And you guys, everybody knows what I'm talking about. We have situations and we don't go on our knees and pray to God to help us with it. We try to find a way to manipulate the situation, rather than falling on our knees and giving it to God. You know, it's a beautiful thing if I've got a problem Brother Willie, and I can just take it and give it to the Lord and walk in the other direction. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Just give him the problem and walk away. Now, you got to make sure you're living right. You got to make sure you're living right. But we should be able to deposit our problems with him. And that's where the faith comes in. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples about those of ye of little faith. And it was a problem that he had with his own people, if you will, his own disciples. Developing faith in the Lord is something that we as Christians need to work on. And it says in Matthew 6:30, it says, "But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith?" We have to develop our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to develop that. In Hebrews 11:1-6, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." God will reward us for seeking him. And one of the things we talked about in our class this morning, and we talked about the Lord being our rock. And I think this is in, and what I'm talking about, where it talks about the Lord being our rock, there's a scripture we have over in Isaiah 26:4. It says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the God, the Lord we have, is an everlasting rock." And what that passage of scripture is talking about is we can always lean on the Lord. You know, I had a doctor, and her day off was Wednesdays. So you couldn't make an appointment on Wednesdays. I want you to know that the Lord is open 24/7 every day of the week, and he's never closed. And he's always there for us. He is our rock. And when we hear that, that's what it's talking about. We're able to lean on him because he's strong, and he has the ability to be with us when we need him. Is your faith under fire? Is your faith under fire? Turn to John, the 14th chapter. You know, everybody has a different picture about John. And, of course, many people refer to John as being impetuous. However, I want you to take a look at this particular passage, if you will, as I promised you that I would. Look at the 28th verse. And we're going to look at John 14:28. And and if somebody finds it, I'm looking for the passage where he's walking on the water, and I've written down the wrong one, where it talks about Jesus is walking on the water, and he takes his eyes off of him, and he falls into the water. You got it yet, Brother Willie? Okay, we'll come back to that passage of Scripture. But the point that I'm trying to make in this particular passage of Scripture, where he's walking on the water, is that because his faith was weak is the reason that he sunk. As long as he kept his faith on Jesus and his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. And I believe we too will. Okay, somebody just told me it's Matthew. Matthew 14th chapter, if you'll go over there. Thank you. And it's probably Matthew 14:28, right? Yeah. And it says in this, "Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" And you can see the problem that Peter had is that he didn't keep his eyes. He had lost faith. As long as he had his faith in Jesus, he was able to walk. And it's a perfect example for us. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus and do the things that he has us to do, we're going to be okay. And he is going to indeed be our rock. If you are sick, sometimes your faith is going to be under fire.
If your spirit has been weakened by some incident in your life, your faith can be weakened. We have to keep our minds on the attitude that these young boys and Daniel had when they went through their trials and tribulations. We have to keep our eyes on the cross. In closing, I wanted to go through one particular thing with you, and it's something that I found by a Johnny Chandler that talks about faith, and the lesson is soon to be yours. It says, stand in your faith, even when you can't see your way. Stand in your faith, even when you feel like you can't face another day. Stand in faith, even when tears want to flow from your eyes. Stand in faith, knowing that our God will always provide. Stand in faith, even when you feel all hope is gone. Stand in faith, knowing that He is always there for you to lean on. Stand in faith, even when you feel like giving up. Stand in faith, because He is there saying, just look up. Stand in faith, even in those times you feel so all alone. Stand in faith, hold on and be strong, for He is still on the throne. Stand in faith, even when it's hard to believe. Stand in faith, even when it's knowing that He can change your situation suddenly. Stand in faith, even in those times you feel it's hard to pray. Stand in faith and believe that He has already made the way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, stand in faith. The lesson is yours. I wanted to have an opportunity to talk about building up our faith. And the best way to build up our faith is through the Word of God and by standing for that. If you're in the audience and you have not become a Christian, the first thing that you need to do is to believe those things in which you've heard, Romans 10:17. The next thing that you must do is you need to believe those things. It is impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. The next thing that we must do is we must repent, and we must change our ways and turn away from the kind of life that we've been living and begin living that kind of life that would be pleasing and acceptable in our Lord's sight. The next thing that we have to do is we have to confess Jesus as Lord. Matthew 10:32 said, He that confesseth me before my Father, him will I confess before my Father who art in heaven. And the next thing that we must do, as Paul talks about over in Romans, the 6th chapter, is we must go into the watery grave of baptism so that we can come in contact with His blood that He shed for us on the cross. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the song that Brother Lee has selected.
Our number is 421. I was sinking deep in sin.